We're just looking at three topics that I think will help us be set up for the new term. Last week, we looked at serving God by serving others and the importance of offering to help to serve God's church here at Worcester Baptist Church and the benefits that brings to ourselves as well as to those who we serve. And thank you to all those now, since last Sunday, have volunteered to help out in various ways. Thank you to Demola for volunteering on the spot today to take over PA. So, yes, if God's prompting you to serve the church in one way or another, then do speak to me. This morning, I'm calling this little talk, Welcoming Well. Welcoming Well. We all know that because Jesus died on the cross, individuals such as you and I can be saved for a future with him in heaven. And we know that, and we know it's good news. But also his death somehow does other things. And one of those things is it somehow means that these crazily mixed up communities of strange and weird and very different folks are formed, called churches, because that's what you are. We become a family of believers in Jesus, becoming his body here on earth, as the Bible describes it. God somehow manages to pull that off. I don't always know how, but he does. Groups of very different people coming together to form his church, coming together to form communities of like-minded souls. But of course, when that happens, what we then need to do, what's incumbent on us, is to try to work out how best we can be the best community we can be. And that's where I think Romans 15 can help. Just a little look at that. Romans is a great book. As I'm sure many of you realise, it's also a theologically deep letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. And you will all remember very clearly, I'm sure, that in 2018, we went through the whole of the book of Romans, taking a chapter at a time. This morning, though, I actually want to look at one verse. One verse that I believe can help set us up for this new term. It's Romans 15, verse 7, where the Apostle Paul outlines something which would clearly help to make a community the best it can be. He offers us some advice. He says, "Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." You see, Paul knows the importance of welcome. I said a few times, actually, during the last year, during our recent conversation as a church about being inclusive, that I believe, I hope, and I know this isn't the case, but I would hope that every church would want to at least be a welcoming church, even if they aren't inclusive. That should surely be the base level of what being church is about. Now, obviously, I'm pleased that we've gone a little bit further and we seek to be an inclusive church. But the way that churches think of being welcoming can often be a little superficial. A warm greeting with a smile on the door on a Sunday morning, which we all get, thanks to Tim and his team. Perhaps a handshake. Maybe, and we did this in the past, we plan to do it again soon, maybe even a welcome pack to take away. All good in itself, but sometimes at some churches, that's it. That's the welcome done. Now that, in my mind, isn't welcoming well. It's just a very good start. Most of you will know that, obviously we live in Carolyn and I live in a manse here in Worcester, thank you for that. But our house is in North Devon. And sometimes when I'm there over a weekend, I'll visit a local Baptist church. I've certainly visited a couple over my time. But one of them, the first one I visited, I won't give its name. The first one I visited, which was about six years ago now. I walked into the church and no one greeted me. Me being me, I searched out where someone was sat, so I went and sat next to them, and I forced the conversation. It was only a very superficial hello, where are you from type conversation. It was a good service, enjoyed it. And then afterwards, I went over to where they were serving their teas and coffees, and I got a mug of tea. I stood in the middle of the church area, and not one person came to speak to me. I finished my tea, I put it back, I walked out of the church, and all that happened is I glanced at, and he glanced back to me, the pastor. How do you think I felt? I haven't been back there since. That happens, they've had a change of minister, and actually the minister who's there now comes from the Heber area, and I do know him a bit. But actually, I found another one which was very welcoming when I went there. And they made me a cup of tea as soon as I walked in. I mean, they didn't know Darren would want a cup of tea, but once I said what I wanted, they made it for me. It wasn't a welcoming experience. And I've heard from some of you sometimes where you have been hasn't been that good either. A welcome on the door is a good start, but the Apostle Paul, his understanding of welcome goes much deeper, goes much further. And it's something that we all need to be doing. We all need to be playing our part in welcoming well. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Paul was writing these words to the church at Rome, which, to be perfectly honest, was experiencing huge tensions at the time between Jewish and Gentile Christians, so those who weren't Jews. They were disagreeing about much. They were disagreeing about eating certain foods and observing certain days. They weren't particularly getting on well with each other. And into this, Paul reminds them and declares the simple truth that Christ has welcomed you. But if that's the case, there is a response that needs to happen because of that. He was saying that they would need to welcome each other despite their differences, because Jesus had welcomed them. And at the end of the day, properly welcoming each other and others who come into our churches brings glory to God, Paul says. One thing that is true, and thank him for that, God is a welcoming God. He welcomes anyone and everyone who believes in Jesus into his family. And while he lived on earth, Jesus always welcomed anyone into his presence or to wherever he was preaching at the time. Whoever they were welcomed well. And so with Jesus as our example, we should never be shy about welcoming others, especially, in fact, those that we don't know well. Those that might be coming into that church in North Devon for the first time. As Christians, we should display the same welcoming attitude as God. Christ's welcome of us is the basis and the model for our ongoing welcoming of one another and others. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. You know, because Jesus died in our place to welcome us into God's family, our welcome of one another means we get to live together as family, a word that I have often over my 8 years here used to describe this church. It feels like a big family. But the kind of welcome we're called to, the kind of welcome that the Apostle Paul is talking about here in Romans 15:7, is not the task of those on the welcome rota that Tim organizes. It's the task of the entire church, every single one of us. And welcoming well isn't a one-off event. It's an ongoing way of life. You know, there's been a few times over the past year, 18 months, I guess, when I've encouraged everyone to, after a service, to speak to someone they don't know, or someone they don't usually speak to speak to visitors that we might have here. And it's been great seeing that happening at the end of the service. Suddenly everyone moving around and chatting to those they wouldn't normally do. And it's been great that some of you afterwards have told me, been really keen to tell me who you've spoken to, what you found out about them, and how good it was to have done that. But I've noted how the following week, we all go back, generally revert back to sitting with and talking with those that we just know well. The danger is, folk then don't really feel welcomed well, as I didn't in Devon. Loving and welcoming our church family and those who come into it, I realise requires time. It requires sacrifice. But then, think about it. Jesus is welcoming us into his family. That required a bit of sacrifice. In fact, it required his death on the cross. No one's asking you to do that. And we accept and include those who we think is a bit different to ourselves, because we're part of the same family. Those that might dress differently, those that might look different. We're part of the same community, and it's what we're called to do. And as churches grow and or change, it's important that we get to know those who are new among us, get to know the other. And that can't be down just to the pastor, or just the welcome team, or just those individuals who are great with chatting with others, people who we might think, I'll leave it to them. It's the task of all of us. And do you know what? I'm even aware of some people in this church who don't just chat to folk after a service, but invite them for lunch. And I realise that's not something that everyone can do, but bless those of you who do that. But just an example of welcoming well, extending the hand of fellowship even further. You know, I would encourage everyone who is here next week, if possible, and we will find ways of getting you there, to go down to Malcolm and Tina's farm. Let's share time around the barbecue in hopefully reasonable sunshine. I'd encourage you, when we have our first Sunday service of the month, which is Sharing Sunday, we have lunch together in the hall afterwards, I'd encourage you to stay and sit somewhere else. Sit with someone you don't know. It's an opportunity just to find out more about each other. And as I said, welcoming well clearly is a good thing, because as Paul says, it brings glory to God. And isn't that what we want to be doing? Bringing glory to God? Well, Christine does, so that's good. He says, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. It's what he wants from us as a gathered community, and it brings him glory. That's more important to God, to be quite frank, as we gather on a Sunday. That brings him more glory than your pitch-perfect singing. How wonderfully you are dressed for Sunday. How slick the worship team are. And they have been very slick today. What he wants us to do, what's important to him, what brings him real glory, is welcoming each other and others well. The church glorifies God by being family to one another, by welcoming one another as Christ has already welcomed us. The church glorifies God by welcoming well anyone who comes through our doors. But you know what, folks? All I've described is welcoming well. Really, even that is just the start. Last Monday, the deacons met in this room here on the right. And as we did say, we were discussing a book called A Radical Welcome, which I'm yet to read. We've ordered some copies, but Fee has read, and Fee was sharing with us that it clearly has a lot of important things to say that we all need to take on board in terms of going above and beyond simply welcoming well. Because it's a book that gives the sense that as you radically welcome people, then you yourself may be transformed as you get to know them. And it suggests that that isn't something that we need to be afraid of. That's taking welcoming well to a whole new level, but a level that we need to aim for if we want to radically welcome and be as inclusive a church as we can. How do we welcome the other? Do we say, come and be like us? Or do we say, come and help change us as we learn more about you? The welcome which Jesus gave, the welcome that Jesus gives, is a radical. So why shouldn't our welcome be equally radical? I have to say, I'm looking forward to reading that when it arrives. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. Great words from the Apostle Paul. If any verse serves as a strong reminder about Jesus's welcoming nature, his radical welcoming nature, then this one is it. Jesus died for us so that we could be welcomed into the presence of God. Dare we exclude or ignore others for whatever reason when Jesus has sacrificed himself to make us welcome? Now, I'm not going to make the challenge today of speaking with someone after the service who we don't know, because I don't want it to be another one-off event. So here's the challenge I'm going to make today. Is that you speak to someone you don't know after every service. Maybe even arrange to meet up for coffee. You'll get to know them better. And who knows? It might just change you. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. It's quite simple, really. We just need to do it. Do it more. Do it well. Do it radically well. Let's pray. Father, I for one thank you that you have welcomed me into your family. And Father, I pray that you help me and each one of us to be equally welcome. To not be like that example I described in Devon, but to be a church and not only says hello as people walk through the door, but seek to know them, to understand them, to help them feel part of the family here at Worcester Baptist Church. Lord, I thank you that on the whole we do a lot well in this regard. But Lord, show us where we could do better. And Lord, show us where perhaps our welcome could not just be a good one, but a radical one. I pray, Lord, for those opportunities over the coming months to get together outside of the service, the barbecues, the sharing Sunday. Lord, the Cayley we're having in November. Opportunities to get to know other members of our family. Help us, Lord, to make sure that no one feels like I did when I left that church in Devon. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do you know, I'm only 2 feet up, but it's hotter up here, isn't it? Right, so I'm going to get down there. You guys can get up here. And we're going to stand to sing our closing song.